Good morning. I want you to turn up the volume on your radio and listen to this for a second.
Johnny Toddy took an notion for to cross the ocean wide, and he left his love behind him walking by the Liverpool tide. For a week she wept full sorely, tore her hair and wrung her hand, till she met another sailor walking on the Liverpool sand.
There is no doubt anyone who's an Everton fan is going to be singing along to that. And of course, if you're a Zed Cars fan as well, I'll play a little more of it shortly. James Ellis, needless to say, his wife Robina is with me in the studio, his son Toto as well. And indeed an actor who I'm going to meet in a moment or two who's got a challenge and a half. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
This is a special day indeed within the Ellis family, Robina. Tell me what you're on your way to do.
We're on our way to for the bridge naming ceremony of a bridge that's been named it after Jimmy Ellis, James Ellis, at 10 o'clock. Been organised by the East Side Partnership.
I have to say, I can't think of a greater honour short of maybe kneeling in front of the Queen and having the old sword lifted. But come honours, a bridge named after you is pretty special, isn't it?
I know, it's amazingly special. I mean, bridges feature all over Jimmy's life, with Sam Thompson at the Over the Bridge play, and then his book Troubles Over the Bridge. But bridges about linking, and that's wonderful. That's what Jimmy was about, and with all the people from here.
Yeah,
it is fantastic.
Totally, and totally, we touch on the bridge issue there. You're behind the film that's been made. For people who may not be aware of the challenge your dad had to face with Sam Thompson, just remind us about that.
So Belfast in 1959, and Sam Thompson came up to my dad and said, I've got a play here you won't touch with a barge pole. And that play was about, I suppose, the beginnings of sectarianism in the Harland and Wolff shipyards. And of course, my dad being my dad said, well, let's go for a pint and tell me all about it. He then agreed to put the play on, as group director of the Ulster Theatre. And he, of course, should have just been able to put the play on without censorship as artistic director of the group theatre, but actually ran into incredible censorship. So this film is about that battle to go from agreeing to stage the play via having to actually resign to ultimately being able to put it on and in the face of some considerable adversity.
When you look at our checkered and troubled history, it was a very brave, very, very brave thing of your dad to do at the time, because he was prepared to stand up to sectarianism, wasn't he?
It was a very, very brave thing to do. It's less easy to see it as brave today, because we're sort of used to seeing controversial, important and political plays and films on all of the time. But at the time, it was incredibly difficult to put it on, not just because of the political climate here, but just because of the arts in general. The arts tended to be heavily kind of dumbed down and censored. It was really only the start of people like John Osborne starting to put on important but difficult plays and being allowed to do so. Most people were stopped in their tracks by either the authorities, the theatre owners themselves, or even the Arts Council. And in this case, Richie McKee was all of those things. He was on the Arts Council, regional governor of Northern Ireland. He was chairman of the group theatre, brother of the Lord Mayor, and he owned half the other theatres in town. So it wasn't easy to get this play on, even though it was a plea for tolerance in their eyes, and even though actually when it was on, there was no trouble at all. 42,000 people came in 6 weeks, most of them shipyard workers, and along came Orson Welles and Laurence Olivier, and off the play went on tour. So actually it wasn't really a difficult play. It was just an important play and an impassioned plea for tolerance.
And that's down to the fact it was a darn good play.
It was a very good play, and actually Thompson and Ellis were very engaged in kind of writing and rewriting it together from Thompson's original draft. There was actually a lot of editing and work that went on between the pair, so they formed this wonderful dynamic. And in many ways, that's kind of what happened with the film. I took my first draft to Adrian Dunbar, and believe you me, he put me through the mill of about 25 different versions until we got that right. So history repeated itself a bit there with the kind of the elder professional and us young precocious proteges, me and Michael, trying our hand at it.
Yeah, and I'm going to meet Michael in just a second, who's going to be playing the part of your dad. So, Toto, it is a challenge to bring it to... It's on the BBC at the weekend, the film. Angry is an important word in it, isn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? It started as a working title, and we nearly changed it, but we stuck with it. And the original reason was The Angry Young Men referred to those dramatists as part of the kind of kitchen sink drama kind of movement of people like John Osborne. And we suddenly thought, well, actually, here were two other angry young men, Sam Thompson and James Ellis, over the water here in Belfast, basically trying to emulate the success of those kind of British playwrights, but kind of on their own. You know, John Osborne was amongst many other counterparts, but actually these two were kind of the only ones on their own trying to stage, if you like, their version of an angry young men or two angry young men's plays. So it's not importantly about anger in the film. They're not angry, and the play isn't angry, but it's more a kind of cultural reference point to what those plays are about.
Well, Michael Shea is with me in the studio as well. Morning, Michael.
Good morning.
You know, you're a very young man. You're obviously playing a very young Jimmy Ellis.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a tall fella. I can see, you know, you've got a facial structure that would suit a Jimmy Ellis type character.
Yeah.
You don't exactly look like him, but I can see a young Jimmy Ellis within you. How big of a challenge is this for you, considering you've like the family spotlight on you, never mind the art spotlight?
Well, I mean, yeah, to fill the shoes of any kind of real living person is always a tough one, because people are able to call you out and kind of not call you out, but people are able to see whether you've got it or not. And so I think very early on, you know, me and Toto and Rabina, we had talks, and we discussed that you're never going to be able to recreate the man, but what you can try and do is capture the essence. And I mean, like, even physically, we kind of, yes, we don't look exactly alike, but if you watch the film, you're able to see we really captured the essence, I think.
Will your accent be Belfast enough for Jimmy Ellis? He was the first person to be recognised on national television with a proper Belfast accent.
I hope so. I mean, mine isn't too strong myself, so I've been over in England too long, I think. But yeah, no, it's important to keep the Belfast elements as strong as possible, I think.
Where are you from exactly?
I'm out by Annahilt.
All right, you're a country boy.
Yeah.
And what else have you done in the acting world?
Well, to be honest, so I graduated from Lambda, a drama school over in London, about not 6 months ago or so. So I haven't been out too long. We shot this kind of as I was graduating, really. So I hadn't really come out just yet. And so I did a show there, Peter and the Star Catcher, which was a lovely success, and I did a BBC sort of thing. So I think we're kind of just kicking off just the start of my career. So it was a real kind of honour and a pleasure to kind of have Jimmy Ellis be a part of the start of my career, really.
Be totally honest with me. How aware were you of the icon who is Jimmy Ellis? You know, because that's Jimmy Ellis will always be an icon. And I grew up with him. Like, I watched Zed Cars.
Sure.
I made a, you know, an appointment to see the man on television, because, like, I just loved the series. Jimmy Ellis seemed local to me in it, but I loved the entire series. Have you ever stopped and watched even on YouTube a bit of Zed Cars?
Well, this is it. So in my training at Lambda, I had a wonderful teacher who Rabina knows very well, and she saw me do something someday, and she kind of stopped me and she said, you remind me very much of a man, a Belfast actor, Jimmy Ellis, do you know him? And I said, I'm really sorry, I'm not sure who you're talking about. And she just went off. She went, Michael, you have to know, if you're from Belfast, you have to know Jimmy Ellis. And so that night I went home and I sat and watched all this Jim, and I figured out who he was, and was embarrassed that I didn't know.
Yeah, it's understandable, isn't it, Toto, that young people may not be aware of your dad, because it is from a bygone era, but they're going to be certainly aware of him when they realise there's a bridge called after him. But wouldn't it be great to see Zed Cars back on repeat TV? It's just such a great series.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the first, I guess, with Dixon and Doc Green. And what was incredible about it was the first, I don't know how many, but the first few, if not several dozen episodes were actually filmed live. So the idea today of doing a drama live where you have to change scene from being in a police car to doing a really tough scene in someone's house to being back at the police station and no chance to get anything wrong is kind of incredible. But no, it's interesting. You know, people have, I mean, Michael's in his 20s, I'm in my 30s. So people in my kind of age would have known a little bit at the end of his career, things like Playing the Field and maybe Bellicose Angel. But yet, I mean, you know, Zed Cars was a while ago. It was in the 60s and 70s. So it's quite a nice story for people to uncover. You know, certainly my mates are often saying, you know.
And, of course, he was in only one episode, but it's a memorable episode. He was in Only Fools and Horses.
That's right. I think it's the one where they go over to,
over
France,
to France
today, isn't it?
Yeah. Where he's the old soldier.
Well, it's moments like that that are really cool to tell your mates, because, of course, all my friends growing up have watched Only Fools and Horses, and so when he popped up in a Christmas special of that, it's quite a nice thing to be able to tell your friends. And he had that habit of, I think he kind of guest starred at some point in almost all of the kind of classic British series. He was in about six episodes of Bellicose Angel. He was in a couple of episodes of Casualty. I think he might even have been in The Bill.
Doctor Who, of course,
with Sylvester McCoy, one of the many doctors. So there was something quite pleasurable kind of as I was growing up. In a way, I was kind of lucky to have avoided the glare of his early fame, so where my half-brothers and sisters would sort of constantly be in the papers and his every move documented. It was quite nice to be in those kind of... in that sort of hinterland, those later years, and just sort of seeing these wonderful guest appearances in those kind of pop cultural BBC and ITV dramas.
And Robina, as you head off to cut a tape or do whatever they do at the opening of a bridge, how proud do you feel this morning?
Amazingly proud. Jimmy would not have believed it because he wore his fame very lightly. He was genuinely a humble man. But as you say, to have a bridge, I'm just so happy for all of us, Toto and me particularly, but for all the family, and just so happy to keep this legacy of Jimmy going, and a bridge couldn't be more appropriate.
Listen, thank you very much for coming in and joining us, Robina. Toto, great seeing you, and continued success, Michael.
Thank
You're
you
obviously going to be a name to watch, and you can see that. It's on BBC Television. It's on Sunday night, is
Sunday
that right,
Sunday night, Toto? And there's a making of, I think, at 10 o'clock, followed by the film, the short film itself, at 2:10, BBC Two.
Lovely stuff. 25 to 10.